And don't stop doing that. Don't stop praising the Lord. I'm just going to go ahead and read the verses that I had in mind. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So don't stop. I like what it says. Praise him according to his excellent greatness.
Yeah.
What if we all did that? Praised him according to his excellent greatness. What we thought he deserved in this moment from us. How different would we act? How different would we be? So tonight, let's praise him for his excellent greatness. Has he been good to you in your life? Has he blessed you in your life? If he has, tell us about it. Praise him. Let everything that hath breath, everybody take a deep breath. Now, that means everybody in here has breath. So, praise ye the Lord. And don't use the excuse, well, I just did. All right? We did that corporately. Now, individually, let's praise the Lord. Anybody got a word? We had a good time this afternoon. If you got to hang around, you had a good time. If you didn't get to hang around, you should have. We built a burger, ate, and watched people play cornhole, which was very entertaining. It was fun, except I didn't win. The only thing about it that wasn't fun was I didn't win. I should have won, but I'm not good, so I can't. If you stink at it, you can't win. The winner is? Richie and Brady. Yeah, they were good. They were good. They skunked the first two, or was it three? The first three games, they skunked them. Shane and I were playing a game before theirs started. They got up and played and sat down, and we were only like halfway done. I'm like, how do you do that? I can't get to 21 that fast, and they were done. But when they met the Johnson Bros, they got beat. They beat Rich and Brady one game, and then Rich and Brady beat them one. So it was good. We had fun. When we do it again, join in. Join in. Tonight, join in. Why don't we get a song, congregation, shake hands, tell somebody you love them. Only if you do, though. Don't lie to them. Just welcome them to church and just enjoy each other.
Get your hymnal turned to number 4. Let's keep talking about praising him. Praise him. Number 4. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory. tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen, amen. Now, we praise the Lord, which went with the verses, praise ye the Lord. It says, according to his excellent greatness, which he picked out the best song. It said, according to his excellent greatness. So, praise ye the Lord. Anybody got a word? If not, let's go to prayer. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's awesome. That is awesome. Somebody else. God is good. God is good. Pray for Trent tonight. He's going to bring us the message. Pray for 316. Any unspoken, raise your hand. The altar is open if you want to pray. Lead out in your own prayer. Pray till you break through. Pray till you're reaching. Pray till you're done. Thank you. Somebody with breath want to praise the Lord. Probably. Yeah, I'm proud of our youth, and we've got, it's youth service, right? So it's everybody taking part as youth. You got the singers, youth, you got the young preacher, you got the young song leader, the young organ player, and young class leader. I mean, right? Right? Right, right. All right. At this time, have 316 come up. The altar's always open to pray, and the floor is always open to testify. So if you've got something to do or something to say, do it or say it.
So it's kind of crazy getting kids together right at the end of summer. So we have managed to, this group, sing together before service. So just pray for us. I told them before we started, we prayed. I said, why do we do this? And they said, we do it for Jesus. I said, are we perfect? Nope, we're not perfect. Are we going to mess up? Probably. Is that okay? Yeah, as long as we're doing it for God, that's what it's about. So I'm thankful that they're here tonight. I know they're busy, and, you know, I appreciate their time and effort in being here with us, and we all get a blessing from that so much. So we have a new sixth grader with us tonight, Julia Mullins. It's the first time singing with us, so I'm really excited about that. And then we have a guest that...
Savannah,
that just hopped right in. She's never sang with us before either, so I'm so thankful for both of them.
Thank you.
This next one's the fun one that you guys like a lot. They don't like doing it as much because it makes them move and get into it. I have the words. Don't freak out. But somebody just asked for it right before we came in here, so we did not practice it. But Grace got you. So, of course, you've seen we've had lots of soloists. I don't want to leave anybody out. Elizabeth sang the first solo. We're going to have Lainey and Lainey on the next song. Who am I missing? Evan is on this next one. So just continue to pray for him.
Leaders that are going out and working in your church and stuff. And I'm thankful. I'm Your life is full, how incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel, uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Giddy over pretty pity, please, let me see your hands in the air with you out your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
Second you realize what you have inside.
Yeah. hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. How sweet is your name, Lord. How good you are. Love to sing of your name, Lord. Love to sing of who you are. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the voice of sin.
Anybody want to praise him according to his excellent greatness? If not, turn over to Trent. Trent, come on up. Jimmy, would you stand up and pray for Trent?
Evening. I'm full of emotions right now.
Yeah.
And I always am every time I get up here. Every time I get up here, I start crying. But God's awesome. Just put that short and sweet. God is awesome. And the first thing I want to say is I just finished up my second semester of PA school. And I tell God every time I go to take a test, I pray about it, ask for His help to just allow me to remember whatever I need to remember for this test, or like whenever I'm studying. Every time I sit down to study, I pray, help me to see on these PowerPoints, you know, whatever it is that I need to see for this test coming up. That's all I care about. Let me pass the test, and I pray about it, and then I pray before the test to help me remember whatever I studied, and I say when I get through, I'm going to give you the praise.
Yes,
I've gotten through, and I've gotten through, and I've gotten through.
Yeah.
I just want to praise Him. I want to publicly praise Him because He's so good. He's gotten me through two semesters, and I got two more semesters to go before I start rotations, but it's getting easier and easier so far. They say it's supposed to get harder and harder, but I think I'm starting to get the hang of it a little bit, and I'm thankful for God and the help that He gives me, because I could not do it on my own, and He got me here, and He's getting me through it, and I'm just thankful for that. And then second thing, I was, as I was studying for my message this week, you know, and it happens every time I get a message prepared. I start out, you know, praying for God to just show me, get me started on some type of scripture, just get me started on where He wants this message to go, and you know, He'll give me this piece of scripture, and I'm like, I don't see a message in that. And then He sends me somewhere else, and then I'm like, I don't see something in that. And then He'll send me somewhere else, and then that scripture will tie together the whole three scriptures that He showed me. And I'm like, well, there's a message. And it didn't make sense just 10 minutes ago, but just it's such a blessing and an honor to be able to sit down and study God's Word. And if you pray about what God wants you to learn when you sit down and read, He will give you something every time. And it's amazing the way He works through His Word. It is so powerful, and I'm thankful for that. I was thinking, this morning when Aaron was preaching, he started in 2 Timothy, or I think it was, and I quickly looked, because I'm going to be talking in 2 Timothy, and I was like, is he going to talk about what I'm going to talk about tonight? And then he didn't, but he did mention Timothy, and what did he mention about Timothy? What was it? About his grandmother's. It was his grandmother's who kind of taught him about how to be a Christian and stuff like that, taught him about Christ. And that's a piece of scripture I was going to use tonight. And I had never read that scripture before or heard of that before I started reading this. And then Aaron uses it this morning. And it's just the way God works. He has everything planned out. And this morning I had to teach Sunday school this morning, and we're studying Proverbs. We're on chapter 7 and 8 this morning. And you know, as I was studying for this message this weekend, and I honestly, you know, I just came through finals week this week. I didn't have a ton of time to get a lesson ready this morning, and I looked, and I had already prepared a lesson for Proverbs 7 and 8, like, weeks ago, and which is what I needed this morning. And so God just kind of worked that out for me, that I'd already had it done, and I didn't even realize, because I had prepared that weeks ago, and I never used it. I didn't need it. Somebody else taught. I did, and it wasn't even the right chapters, and so I don't even know why that happened, but God worked it out perfect for me to be able to have that this morning. And I'm just thankful for the way God works. God is awesome. And that's as simple as I can say it. And then this is just a big testimony. I'm sorry. I'm just going on and on. God's just blessed me, and I just have to tell you guys about it. But I was thinking, have you guys enjoyed the service tonight so far and this morning? I mean, it is fun to come to church when the Spirit is moving. I mean, it is a blessing to be in church when the Spirit's moving like this. And, you know, that's kind of the sad thing is that church kind of has a lot of people who don't go to church, or so even some people who do go to church, they kind of think that church is boring, or they say church has a bad rep, that church is boring, and that's why, you know, they don't want to, it's not fun. Sometimes I kind of blame that on the churches, because there's a lot of churches that don't let the Spirit move. And when the Spirit doesn't move in a service, I'd say it probably is boring, because if the Spirit's not moving, then what are you going to get out of it? You're not going to get anything out of it, and it's not going to be enjoyable at all. But I'm thankful that our services, the Spirit, we let the Spirit move. And however it wants to move, we let it move. And I'm thankful for that, because that's what makes church fun. And I'm thankful that I've been out of town the past 2 weekends. We were camping, and then the teen retreat, and it just felt great to be back in church today, having fun, serving, worshiping God. The song they sang, I Can Only Imagine, it said, I can only imagine that one day we'll forever be able to worship Him. I don't think that's how it's worded, but one day we'll forever be able to worship Him, forever. And as much fun as we have here in service, we're going to be able to have that up there forever. And that's just something to look forward to. I'm thankful for that. I was just thinking about that when they were singing. How blessed we are to have a church that lets the Spirit move, because it is truly a joy to be able to come to church when the Spirit is moving. Does anybody else have a testimony before I get started into the message? Anything? All right, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy real quick. I won't stay there long. I'm not going to, I don't plan to speak very long. I speak pretty fast, but you know, you guys have enjoyed the service tonight, and that's kind of what I want to talk about is the people out there that don't know how enjoyable it is to serve God, and our responsibility of spreading the gospel. That's what I want to talk about, is us being able to tell others how much fun we have here in church and how much of a joy it is to worship God. That's the direction that God led me with this message is us spreading the gospel to others. So starting in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 5 through 7, it's just kind of talking about Timothy's grandmothers here. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So, I just kind of, whenever God showed me that scripture, I just kind of brushed it off in the first place because I didn't really care about Timothy's grandmother at the time. But then when I got into this and he started directing me about spreading the gospel, then that kind of brought me back to this where it talked about how his grandmother spread the gospel to him. So that's kind of the first point is our responsibility to spread the gospel to our family. And I'm sure we've all had grandmothers or parents or family members that we've seen as kids growing up that are Christians or that do things for God, and they have impacted us whether they specifically meant to or not, but just the way they lived their life has had an impact on us. And I know my family, I got all kind of family here tonight that I've watched growing up, and that's led me to be able to be where I am today, and I'm thankful that I have a family that has raised me that way. And that's important that we do that for our family, that we take every chance we can to our family that aren't saved, that we take that opportunity to spread the gospel to them. But not only our family, but who else do we have a responsibility to spread the gospel to? Everybody. Anybody that's not saved, it is our responsibility to spread the gospel to them. If you turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he's kind of saying that. If you guys want to turn there real quick. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And it says, let me turn there. It says, "And he said unto them," and this is him giving the Great Commission, it says, "Go ye into all the world," this is Jesus speaking, "and preach the gospel to every creature." So Who are we preaching to? Who we got to spread the gospel to? Every what? Creature. I mean, that means anybody, whether they've killed 10,000 people, whether they've stolen millions of dollars, whether they've, you know, whatever they've done, it's our responsibility to get the gospel out to them, even, no matter what they've done. It says every creature. It doesn't say every creature that's good or every creature that's done something good for you. It says every creature. And that's our responsibility to spread the gospel. And if you guys were here, I don't think there was a huge crowd here Wednesday night. It was a pretty good crowd Wednesday night. But Greg Bailey taught a lesson on, if you were here, what did he teach a lesson on? Sowing the seeds, basically the parable of the four soils. And we've all heard that before. We're going to go ahead and turn it real quick. Matthew chapter 13, we're just going to read a few verses. Matthew chapter 13. And I loved Greg's lesson Wednesday night. It spoke a lot to me. I mean, I've heard the parable before, but not in the way that he presented it. And I really enjoyed it. I was glad I was there to hear it. There was one thing he mentioned in his lesson. He mentioned a lot of things, but one of them that stuck out to me that I'll mention here in a little bit once we get started reading. But starting in verse 3 of chapter Matthew 13, and this is Jesus telling the parable here. It says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they scorched. They sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So, what's that? That's kind of telling us that it says that the sower sows the seeds. Some of them are going to fall by the wayside. Some of them aren't going to take root. It says some of them will kind of take root, but you know, there's rock underneath the ground, so whenever the sun hits, there's not much root there for it to have life. So it just dies. And then it talks about how a seed will take root, and then the things around it kind of choke it out. And then it finally says there's some seeds that will land on good ground, and it will take root, and it will grow. And you know, so does it? This is one of the points that Greg made in his lesson Wednesday. He said, "What does it tell us? We're the sowers. So what is it telling us to do? To sow seeds. Does it tell us that we have to get the ground ready? You know, put the seed in there, put the ground back, water it. Does it tell us we have to do all that stuff?" It says just to sow the seed. That's what Greg was saying. It just says that we are supposed to sow the seeds. So a lot of times we get discouraged, you know. I think there's two things we can take away from this passage here, is that it says to sow seeds, and then we can also be sure to not get discouraged whenever the seeds sometimes don't take root. Because it's telling us here, sometimes they're not going to take root. But it's our job to keep sowing anyways. And to not get discouraged about that, because Jesus is telling us that that's going to happen. But to keep sowing anyways. So if we don't prepare the ground for the seeds, who does prepare the ground? God does. God's the one that prepares the ground for our seeds to be planted. So this means that, you know, it takes us plus him for us to get a seed planted in somebody and for it to take root. So we can't do it on our own. So that's important that we don't get discouraged, you know, when we're praying for somebody and we're really trying to get them to get saved, and it's just not, and we've been praying and trying for years, and it's just not happening. But it's important to realize we can't do it on our own. We're not going to be able to save somebody on our own. It's us plus God that'll get that seed planted and take root and grow. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, I would encourage you to, I don't know if we put Wednesday night services on the website or not, but Greg's lesson was wonderful. I loved it. He elaborated on that a lot more than what I did. I just kind of paraphrased a little bit, but I thought it was such a good point, because a lot of times we think we have to, when we see somebody that's not saved, we think that we have to, you know, kind of prime them up and wait till the right time to sow the seed. And God just tells us to sow the seeds. He says just keep throwing the seeds out there. He'll take care of if that seed will take root or not. That's not our responsibility, because a lot of times we'll think that they're not ready to hear it, so we won't sow the seed. We won't throw the seed out there. But that's not our responsibility, is to worry if they're ready or not. That's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is just to keep throwing the seeds, keep throwing the seeds, keep tossing them out there, and then God will make sure that they get rooted whenever they're supposed to. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just going to read the first verse here. It says, "We then, as workers together with him," so that's talking about us being workers with Christ. So I have this boxed up here, and I had made a bullet that somebody had taught at some point. I didn't write down who, but it said that we are co-workers with Christ. That's what we are as Christians. We work with him to spread the good news of the gospel to others. We are co-workers with Christ. And I never really thought about it that way. And it just kind of, like I said, whenever I was studying the scripture, God led me to this. And it just I already had this bullet boxed up to say, co-workers with Christ. And I don't know when that was or when that came from, but I'm telling you, it is a blessing to study God's word and to get into it and see how God works things out to get these messages ready. And it's an honor to be able to get up here and preach what God has me to say and what God teaches me while I'm studying. As much as I get nervous and sometimes I dread coming up here because I get nervous, and sometimes I don't want to sit down and study, even though I enjoy it every time I do it, but sometimes I don't want to take the time out to study. I'd rather play video games with Shane, I guess, and that's dumb, because video games with Shane ain't as good as this, but we never win, but whenever I read this, it's a win every time. I mean, I get something out of it every time, and I'm just thankful that God is, you know, allowed me to do this for him. But anyways, so we're co-workers with Christ. So we can't change the ground. That's God's responsibility. But, you know, we can change. What can we change? I didn't really give you much hint there. We can change. What can we change about sowing? What? How often?
How many?
How many? What else? Right.
We can plant seed somebody else can water.
Exactly.
But God is the one who gives the
end. Right. It's a lot of times it's a group effort for someone. I mean, for myself, and I'm sure a lot of you guys, whenever we were growing up, it wasn't just one person that made us want to come to church and learn more about God. It was multiple people. So we can sow more seeds depending on, you know, where we sow the seeds. But what I was thinking of is how we sow the seed. The method that we sow the seed, this is my fault. But another scripture that God showed me, and this is in the first stages of when I was getting the message ready, and it said, I can't remember the scripture, but down in the commentary, it was talking about how we can tailor the message, or we can tailor the method, not the message, to somebody. And I wish I had written that down at the time. I didn't think it was worth for this, but. Then I tried finding it, and I could not find where that scripture was. But it said, we can tailor the method, but not the message. So, what's the message? The message is, God created the earth, God created the heavens and the earth. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us because, well, actually, in between that, God created the heavens and the earth. All have sinned, and then all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then He sent His Son to be a sacrifice.
Yes.
Then His Son died on the cross. And then His Son rose from the dead. And then went to heaven, and He's coming back again. And that's the message. We can't change the message. But we can change how the method that we give that message to tailor it kind of towards what might work for them better. And some different things that I had, I read some different, I like to kind of go online and read different, you know, Christian stories, because, you know, Jesus taught in parables, right? And that was because it allowed the people to understand His message better. He kind of tailored His message to the people, right? The parables that he spoke was stories that they would understand so that they would get the message. And I like kind of telling some stories in a message because I think that it helps us remember them better. But there was one thing I was wanting to read here that talks about how Christ It says, Christ met unbelievers where they were. He realized that what many Christians today still don't seem to understand. It said, cultivators have to get out in the field. According to one count, the Gospels record recorded 132 contacts that Jesus had with people. 6 were in the temple, 4 were in the synagogues, and 122 were out with the people in the mainstream of life. So he went to them. And a lot of times in our life, we think, well, I just don't have any opportunities to witness to somebody. You know, I would if I had the chance. But do we ever look for a chance, or do we ever really seek out the chance? You know, I'm guilty of that myself. And I think, well, if I had the chance, I definitely would tell them about it. But I don't actually go out and look for those chances a lot of times. And it's said here that Christ, they have estimated 132 different contacts he had with people. Only 6 of them were in the church, about 10 of them were in the church in the synagogues. 122 of them were out in the world. And so he went to them. And that's kind of, we should follow after that. It's us. It's our job to kind of go out to others. They're not really probably going to come to us. I mean, they might sometimes. Sometimes they'll come to us, talk to us when God's been working on them. But a lot of times, they're not going to come to us to look, because that's not really what they're looking for. But if we go to them, and just like Christ did, there's a better chance that they're going to find this path that we're on. So we got to meet believers where they are, and then so there's different styles. This is just some of the styles that I was reading that somebody had typed up. They had said there's a confrontational style, so that's a lot of times we don't like that approach, but some people it would work on. It's just, you know, repent and be baptized, save yourselves. You know, this is. Just kind of tell them straight up what's going on. Tell them kind of the harsh way, which a lot of times, you know, that doesn't work. But for some people, it might. So that's a style. You know, some people don't have any idea that they're doing anything wrong. And once they hear the truth, sometimes you just need to hear the truth the hard way. I know sometimes I need to hear the truth the hard way. If mom's told me my haircut looks bad sometimes before that I've. She's told me that I cut it too short, and I like it short. It's more comfortable short, but she said, sometimes she'll tell me if I cut it too short, or if I got an outfit ready, Taylor and mom will give me their honest opinion on it, and I'd rather have it that way. I'd rather have them tell me the honest truth. So some people want to hear the truth straight up, but, you know, we gotta be careful, you know, about that style sometimes, because not everybody can handle that. There's kind of the intellectual style. Whereas, you know, some people are very smart, and they've studied up on how they've proved Christianity wrong, you know, and they've studied the Bible, and this just doesn't seem real to them. And, you know, sometimes we have to take an intellectual approach with them to kind of battle back a little bit and kind of prove to them that those points that they think are true, you know, this is what's actually true. This is what the Bible says about that, and this is the proof that we have. And you know, and God will give us a lot of times we think that we're not smart enough to handle that type of thing. But if we're praying about it, and if we feel that God has led us to talk to somebody, he'll give us all the intellect that we need to battle back, or to kind of put down their theories or something like that to kind of lead them towards the truth. And then there's testimonial style, which is just telling somebody what God's done for you and telling them how you got saved and telling them the gospel in that way. And that works a lot, I think. That's one of the better styles that every time I'm sitting in a service and I hear somebody testify, that's a blessing to see, you know, how God's worked for them and how he can do the same for me one day if I would happen to be in that same situation. You know, I like being in the Wednesday night services whenever people stand up and testify, and there's not usually a lot of young people in there, but in there on Wednesday nights, but, you know, a lot of people are at different stages of life that I'm in, but I can hear how God's helping them in their stage of life. And I can look ahead and say, when I get there, you know, he can help me too when I get there. And that's the whole point of the testimonial style of spreading the gospel, is that, you know, when we tell our testimony to somebody else, they can see, well, if he's, you know, he saved you, and well, he can save me too. And that's the whole point of that, is that just trying to spread to them that God can save them just like he saved all of us. And then the fourth one is kind of relational. So just building a relationship up with them and just showing them that you care for them. That allow them to realize that, you know, you're not just trying to get them to get into this Christianity thing just because, you know, it looks good or something like that, that you think is really what's best for their life, that you have a relationship with them, that you care about them, and that this is what they need, right? That's the relational style. And then invitational style, we know the Samaritan woman, whenever Jesus spoke to her at the well, and then he told her to go tell everybody about it, what did she do? She went through town telling everybody to come see who had saved her. And that's the kind of invitational stuff. She told them to come see for themselves what she saw. And, you know, that's, some people might want that. Some people, you know, they don't want to really hear what you have to say. They want to see for themselves what this is all about. Just invite them to church. Get them in here and let them see for themselves what this whole Christianity thing is about. And then the last one is just kind of serving them, kind of being generous, kind, just showing them love. That might break their heart up a little bit to kind of say, you know, they're going down the wrong road. And there was one story that I had read that said there was this evangelist that was sitting on a train with a guy that was drinking a lot. And it says one day he found himself seated on a train next to a young man who was drinking quite heavily. Each time the young man opened his bottle, he offered a drink to the evangelist, who declined with thanks. You know, he said, no, thank you. And then it says, finally the young man said to the evangelist, you must think I'm pretty rough. And the evangelist said, no. He said, matter of fact, he's like, I think you're a pretty kind-hearted fellow for offering me a drink every time you take a drink. So some people need to hear, because a lot of times people that aren't saved, they think they're too bad to get saved. They think they're too rough. But if you show them the good that's in them, and like this guy, this evangelist did here, he said, actually, I think you have a pretty kind heart. And that kind of, it says it opened up a conversation between the two about God, about church. So that's kind of, sometimes, you know, non-Christians, they think that they can't be saved because they've done too many bad things, it's just not for them. They went way too far down the wrong road. But if we kind of open up their eyes to the fact that we've all went down the wrong road at some point, that for all have sinned, and that, you know, if we let them see that there is good in them, you know, God created all humans. God creates life. So, and everything that God makes is good. So if he created them, then there is good in them somewhere. No matter how bad they've been, there is good in them, and Christ wants them to follow him, no matter how bad that they've been. So there's all those different styles, and I thought that was pretty interesting. That kind of summed up all the different styles that there are. There was some examples that I thought of where Christ met believers where they were. And the first one was when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He kind of met them down on their level of, he didn't exalt him up on, you know, some big carriage and horse and buggy carriage and all this stuff. You know, he rode in on a donkey just as equal as anybody else. And kind of putting him on their level opened up the rest of his ministry to see that he doesn't think he's the Son of God, but he's also human. You know, he's experiencing what I'm experiencing, right? And that allows him to understand what we're feeling. And so he kind of came down to their level there. And then, you know, the parable that Jesus took about the four soils, he broke that down. A lot of the people at that time were farmers. So by him talking about the seeds, that was putting that on their level for them to understand that. And sometimes we might have to do that whenever God tells us that there's somebody that we need to witness to. And a lot of his disciples were fishermen. So what did he say, that he would make us fishers of men, right? He said that in that way because they were fishermen. So it made sense to them. And then he met the woman at the well just in daily life. She was just at the well. He went to her. He met her there. You know, that was a way that he just met somebody where they were. What about Legion? He met Legion where he was. Nobody was where Legion was. Legion was away. You know, Legion wasn't going to come to him. You know, why? Why was Legion not going to come to Christ? He was full of demons, thousands of demons, and they were scared of Christ. When Christ showed up, they said, why have you come here to torment us? Because they were terrified. So he wasn't going to come to Christ. Christ came to him. And a lot of times, that's going to be what we have to do. You know, we're going to have to be the ones that go to somebody else and spread that gospel to them, because their chances are they're probably not going to come to us. And then he met the leaders whenever he gave his first message when he was 12 years old. He went to the temple where all the leaders were that needed to hear his message. He was trying to kind of introduce the new doctrine that God, you know, had for him. And, you know, he knew that those leaders needed to hear that, because they were going to be stuck on the old methods. And so he went to them to preach to them in the temple. So Christ met people where they were. And that's just something that I think is important, that a lot of times we think, you know, we just wait for somebody to come by and give us a chance to witness. But is it ever on our mind to go to them and witness to them and seek them out? You know, we enjoy church so much. You know, I can't speak for you guys, but I enjoy church a lot. And I want people, you know, that's kind of one of the methods that I like, is the kind of the relational method, where you just care for them enough to say, I want you to have what I have, that this made an impact in my life, and this has changed my life, and this has given me the life that I have, and it's all because of God and following Christ. And, you know, I want them to have that also. So as they get a song of invitation, as we stand, if you're here tonight and you've heard the message, what was the message that I mentioned? The first thing was that God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that he sent his son as a sacrifice for those people that have sinned, and then his son died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he went to heaven, and he's coming back again. That's the message. And if you've heard that message, and you've never heard that message before tonight, and you're here tonight, and you want to become a Christian, the altar is open for that. But also, that's first and foremost. But also, if you're here tonight, and there's somebody in your life that you know needs to be witnessed to, and you know, you maybe just haven't got the courage to do it, or you just want God to tell you how it needs to be done, because that's what matters most. God knows how the witnessing needs to be done, and it's up to us to talk to him about it. So the altar's open for that tonight. If you have somebody on your mind that you're praying about that needs to hear the gospel that we have, and we know how much it impacted our life, if we have anybody that we're concerned for, that we want to pray about, the altar is open for you tonight to just come talk to God about it, that he can talk to you about what you need to do to be able to speak to that person the way that they need to hear it. So as they sing, just think about that tonight. The altar is open. Somebody will be here to pray for you.
Amazing grace. was just gonna say, you know, I hope I didn't give that message off in the wrong way. I was hoping to more sound of an encouragement. There's a lot of different ways that we can witness to other people, and not to ever think put anybody down for not witnessing, because I myself have missed out on multiple opportunities to witness to somebody, and I just wanted it to be a message that will inspire us to say, hey, there's a lot of people out there, and they're not going to come to us. You know, it's us going to them, and there's a lot of different ways that we can do that, and just keep sowing the seeds. If there's somebody you've been praying for and you've been sowing seeds and throwing them out there and throwing the seeds out there, and it's just not taking root, Christ told us that that's going to happen, that they're not always going to take root, but it's us with Him that will eventually allow it to take root. So just keep praying for them. Pray for God to soften their hearts so that we can keep throwing those seeds out there, or somebody can keep throwing those seeds out there to that person. Anybody else have anything?
It hit me how important and powerful this message was.
Yes.
In this thought. How many of us are glad somebody sowed a seed?
Amen.
Did somebody not sow a seed in your life?
Amen.
Now, to keep sowing seeds, how many of us weren't the good seed the first time? How many of us were the seed that it didn't even take root? How many of us were the seed that it took a little root, but as soon as the sun came up, we dried? How many of us were the seed that took root, other things came up around us, before we were the good ground? If you were more than one soil, raise your hand. If you were more than what, if you weren't the good soil the first time, so how important is it to do what He told us?
Right.
Somebody did it for you, and probably more than once. Had it not been for somebody telling me more than once, I was probably the first, the second, the third, before the fourth soil. I'm glad that somebody knew this that you now taught me. Powerful message.
Amen.
Powerful message.
Amen.
But the first part that I mentioned, the only reason I even brought up, you guys can sit down if you want to. Sorry to keep you guys standing. But the first part about talking about in Timothy, the only reason I even brought up his grandmother and his mom was that they sowed the seed for him. And, you know, I thought about how my family sowed seeds in me, and, you know, we have family that we need to sow seeds with as well as it said, all creatures. But, you know, just don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. And like I said, Greg's lesson Wednesday night that, you know, when I heard it, I didn't realize that it was going to be something I was using this tonight. I enjoyed it. And then once I kind of got into the message, and it's just awesome how God puts things where they need to be throughout your life and throughout my life to get the messages ready. And once I get finished, I'm like, how did He put that together all at the right time? And I'm just thankful. I mean, I don't know if you other preachers see how that works for you guys, but it is a blessing to just see how God works. You know, like I said, as much as I get nervous and sometimes don't like getting up here, and I battled for 8 months that whenever God called me that I did not want to do this, but I'm thankful that he did, and I'm thankful that because it is truly a blessing. As much work as much time as it might take or stress, it is truly a blessing to be able to just spend time with God, talking to Him and studying His Word. Anybody else have anything, a testimony, anything they want to say?
See.
And, you know, a lot of times it...